5:30, Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. Calling to order the meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Cotuit Fire District. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Zeis.
And Commissioner Conley is not in attendance. He won't be able to make it. Is anyone recording the meeting? Amy Cates is recording the meeting. Begin with public comment. Is there any public comment? I don't know. I don't think that one's turned on yet.
Amy Cates, 4782 Falmouth Road. Mr. Chairman, could we please postpone public comment until the end of the meeting? Would that be possible?
I'd rather not.
Okay, thank you. Then I'll say my public comment now. I didn't actually want to bring this up until the committee had had a chance to discuss the legal expenses incurred by the district. I noticed that you've posted on tonight's agenda legal expenses for union negotiation, open meeting complaints, and the Inspector General. You failed to mention legal expenses for the Secretary of State's office. Legal expenses wouldn't have occurred regarding open meeting complaints if this committee had been transparent and were following the rules of the Commonwealth of Mass. There's nothing that says that the committee needs to use an attorney. You choose to when responding to complaints. Next, you probably shouldn't be using an attorney during union negotiations until the time comes for mediation. Also, you wouldn't have needed to use an attorney for the Inspector General's office if you had chosen to work with Cindy Gardner during the 5 years that she pleaded with the committee to do the right thing. Finally, regarding the Secretary of State's office, Cindy Gardner had requested documents which are considered public records, and this committee chose instead to hire three different legal firms to prevent her from receiving the documents, which she ultimately received because they were, in fact, public records. The committee has no one to blame but themselves. It's time, really, to do the right thing. In closing, I am awaiting public records that have not been supplied to me as requested. If the committee doesn't do the right thing this evening, I'll be filing with the Secretary of State at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you. Amy Cates.
Any other public comment?
Francis Parks, Prudential Committee. I don't know if Ms. Cates is requesting the her freedom, her information about the legal bills, but Charlie and Tony are working on that. He hasn't gotten a cost from Tony yet as to how much it would cost to gather that information for you, but it is being attended to and worked on.
Any other public comments? Next item is review and approval of previous.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. Since there was a problem with the recording of your last minute, I was wondering if you could read the minutes into the record tonight so we'll know what you're approving, so we know what went on during the meeting. Thank you.
What's the date of the last meeting? Can you remember?
Yep, the meetings will be posted on the website by tomorrow. They'll be available then.
Well, you I don't know if I have those without having internet access, but.
September 12th is the file that you're looking for.
Oh.
But they do go on for three pages, so we will simply have them posted, and hopefully the sound system will behave tonight.
I do have them.
Have you had a chance to review them yourself?
I have.
As have I. Do I have a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve meeting minutes from September 12, 2017.
I'll second. In favor?
Commissioner Zeis.
Commissioner Pisano. Okay. Next item is the fire chief's report.
During the month of September, we responded to a total of 72 calls. 42 were medical, one was hazardous condition, and 29 were service, good intent, or false alarm calls. The ComStar report is attached. Nothing out of the ordinary there. Budget review of the warrants have been sent out. Budget, we're fairly on track in all areas. Nothing out of the ordinary.
I actually had a question about one of those.
Which bill?
On the budget.
On the budget?
Yeah, the copy I have is current through September 22nd, so we're looking at just a little over 20% of the year. And these are the pages that apply to us. It's the segment three, status of the monies for rehabbing 263 shows that nothing has been taken out of that account as yet. Do you know if the work that was already done was then? Because I know it was done last.
They redid the compartment doors. I did quite a bit of work to it. It was complete before I got here. I've been told that the work has been paid for. Obviously, it wasn't paid out of this account, so it must have been paid out of the maintenance account.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear back. I'm playing phone tag with Minuteman Trucking, the company that does the work, to see if there was something else that we don't know about. But as far as I know, the work is complete, and they must have used funds out of the budget, the regular line item for equipment and repair for the year.
Okay, would you please make a note to get me the actual amount that was spent on that rehab out of last year's money?
I will find those exactly. I'll get the receipts.
Okay, thank you.
The Minuteman said they were mailing us all the receipts and other bills. I still haven't got them though.
Okay. We also have delivered electronically the series of warrants for the past month that I've already reviewed and signed. I didn't have any questions about any of those. Did you?
No.
Okay. In fact, the next item on the agenda is legal expenses. And my understanding from our last report was that we were going to get a breakout in this ledger history, but it does not show up the way I had anticipated it would. We just have a grouped number for legal services without the breakout as to items. However, on the warrants that I previously mentioned, we have had to expend $536.25 on OML complaints and $357.50 on records requests already. This is in addition to what was presented in the last meeting as a cumulative bill to date on the order of $10,000. So I do want this breakout by the next meeting.
I'll make sure it gets done by the next meeting. I apologize for not having done this meeting.
Okay. and that will include the three categories, the negotiations, the OML complaints, and the Inspector General report. Okay.
Yep, a little broken out.
The next item is personnel.
We still have Kate Halloran scheduled to go to the Academy on November 6th for the 10-week Academy class. And I wanted to mention that Lieutenant McNamara has two letters of appreciation added to his file, one of which from last month with his extra duties around the station for the stairway going to the break area outside. And he's a letter from former Commissioner Hadley thanking him for assistance with, I think, some moving trucks next door. He went out of his way to give them a hand or show them the way around. So they were both added to his file, and both are in your packet.
Good.
No injury, no one injury at this point in time. Everybody's at work, which is great.
That's the kind of report we like to hear.
That's a good report. Facilities?
Yeah.
Facilities. We've had a busy month for facilities. We've done a lot of electrical work around the station. We found that for some reason all the fluorescent lights seemed to die all at once. So we had numerous lights that were either flashing or out of the station. So we had an electrician come in, and he switched them over to LEDs. Said it was about the same cost as to replace the fluorescent ballasts as it was to go LED, which will last a lot longer. So we had that. That was been accomplished. He rewired the doorbell, so now we know when someone's at the front door. And another contractor has refixed the emergency phone outside, so now we have a working emergency phone outside as well. So a lot of electrical repairs were made. What's the other one? Facilities. We'll go to the septic next, I guess. It's kind of.
But before we leave electrical, we had raised last year the question of trying to find a package for installing some solar panels on the building that would reduce our pretty high ongoing electric expenses. We're running 12.
We're still running about $1,000 a month, I think, in electrical. Yeah. It's still steep.
There are a number of firms that are still promoting these no-cost long-term lease. I don't know what the legality of it is in terms of the district building, and that would have to go through Prudential, am I correct?
Weight's an issue, but they do that as part of their, you know, attempt to get people to sign up to these things.
In any case, it's not imminent because the roof is listed on the list of items we're going to talk about tonight.
Right. Well, before we put solar, we have to make sure the roof was up to par, and its lifespan has been reached. It's we've had two contractors look at it. We've got two prices from $20,000 to $50,000. We're waiting on see if we get at least a third one before we put a budgeted request together for next year for a new roof. But we would need to replace the roof before we put solar panels on.
Say again what those estimates were.
They were one came in at $25,000, I think, and one came in at $50,000, almost double.
I left the name of a Kitua contractor.
I think Chris has probably called. We just haven't gotten any of the prices in yet, so we're waiting to get some other numbers in.
Right. We had a couple of other people come in, but at least one of them said the job was too big for his outfit.
Was it? Those are the only two prices we've received so far.
Okay.
Who were the contract?
Do you remember? One was Casalt Roofing, and the other was something Home Improvement. I forget the name of them, sorry. They're out of Mashpee, though.
Okay, but that would have to go before the annual meeting and get an appropriation anyhow, so we're talking about fiscal 19 for that.
I believe so, yeah.
So I have plenty of lead time to find out about the possibility of putting some solar on top of it. Okay. The third item in facilities that I had asked about was internet.
We're We're still working. We had a we had an IT network company come in and look at our facilities and give us a price on what they thought it would take to move our database, Firehouse database, onto the Calm database so that we could get their data feed and to get us up and running with a connection, update our computers for virus protection and a service plan. And the price just came in this morning. They were talking hardware of approximately $9,000, and they want $1,000 to $2,000 a month in service contract. So,
$1,000 to $2,000 a month?
A month. I thought for four computers or five computers. I was not expecting this number. So we've kind of gone back to the drawing board and see if we can get some other prices and look at some other vendors, because I don't think that's reasonable. So, but that's the price we have so far. We need to do something. Whether we create a network, a small network, or whether we try to do more cloud-based, I think is, maybe Adam can help me with that. I'd be inclined to do more of a cloud-based type solution that's not less maintenance for us.
$1,000 to $2,000 a month is ridiculous.
Yeah. I agree. So I don't think that's a reasonable alternative. So I think we need to find a different alternative. So I was hoping this is going to come in reasonable and it would be a good solution, yeah. But it's not.
You have to balance the on-premise equipment with the security of the cloud, that's all.
Yeah, right.
I'll come over and we'll talk.
Okay. I know we can do a Firehouse. We can put Firehouse in the cloud for, they said, about $2,000 a year. That's secure, and it's cloud-based, so we don't have to worry about losing any data. That may be part of the solution, but I'm not ready to give you a final solution proposal yet. I wish I was. Mm-hmm.
Adam, would you be able to also review their hardware recommendations?
Yes. I'll sit down with the chief and go through that. Tomorrow's pretty busy, but I'll try to get there ASAP.
I'll email you their quote so you have a look at what they were.
And along with that?
I'm just looking for it. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just that, along with that, when you're looking at this, could we re-examine the question of getting out of MegaNet, which keeps disappearing?
I hear you, and I have tried. I will try more and get this done.
Great.
I could come over early at, 1.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
Sorry, folks.
That's great.
And I see. It comes up down under old business. Is going to say the next thing in facilities. I thought was going to be septic, but we have it in.
That's down. Okay.
Old business.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
We can pick it up now, though.
Sure. Okay. So the septic, we just received this week. Received the updated septic plans. So we asked the septic company to redraw the plans to move the septic system as much as they could under where the propane tank is. By putting it under the propane tank, we can reduce the amount of asphalt we're cutting up and reduce the cost of the system. And as part of that, we would change the source of fuel for the backup generator from propane to natural gas. So we've got we've ordered a new meter. It was cheaper to put a new meter in than connect the existing gas meter up to the emergency generator. So they're putting National Grid is going to put a new meter within the next month to power that, and then we can pull the propane tank out and reduce the cost of the septic installation. So we got the updated plans this week. I filed them with the town this afternoon requesting a permit. So once we get the okay from the town health department saying this plan works for them, then we can go out and get three bids and get it done. So we're hopefully very shortly ready to go out to bid and get that part of it done.
Great. The natural gas line that's already to the building can be, teed off into the new meter so we don't have to run another separate line?
We got to run a separate line. That was the problem. The existing line is only half-inch line, so if we want to put the generator on that, we would have had to rip the front apron up and put a new line in there. That was, they charge more money for that and then we'd have to bring the gas, which is on the right side of the building, across the building through concrete walls to the other side, which we can do. But then there's an expense with a plumber and the concrete boring, and National Grid charges $1,500 to just put a whole new line on. They'll cut the drive. They tunnel under the driveway as much as they can. They cut up, they patch it. They're going to cut down where the seam already is in the driveway, so it will not be that much of a mess. They replace the asphalt, put it all back like new, and it's $1,500 for that. So it's $300 more, but we avoid any of the cost of bringing the propane through the building.
Yeah.
And that would be much more than that extra $300. So.
Okay, so we're waiting on the permit on NSTAR to do the meter and installation.
Permit should be, as long as there's no problems and they're okay with us using the SOP that we'll talk about later on, and not putting in a containment system for floor drains, then we should be, have a permit from the town within the next 2 days, and then be able to go out to bid and have a bid back within the next month.
Good. Okay.
We do, yeah. It's going to be, they have to actually, it's firmware. As the generator company comes in and they update the firmware in the generator to take the natural gas as opposed to the propane. Propane's got a higher heat content. We lose, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 watts of power, which is minuscule because it's an 80,000 watt generator. So we lose a little bit, a tiny bit of power, still enough to run the building. But yeah, there's a, I think it's a $600 charge to redo the firmware in the generator.
Okay. Back up to your report. I already touched on this under apparatus with the rehab with 263.
Right. The only other issue, 260 went in. It was having a vibration issue. They had to put two new tires on 260, but other than that, everything's up and running. The boat went to 266, went to Woods Hole for training for a couple days, but that's back. Everything went great. Nothing else to report as far as apparatus goes.
How long will that stay in the water?
I don't know. My feeling is we keep it as long as we can. I know we use it at Christmas time to bring Santa to the dock, so maybe we keep it in until then, and then we take it out. As long as there's no ice and no hazard, I don't see any problem with having it in the water.
Okay.
Do you have a feeling as to when you want it out, or?
Nope.
All right.
Next was update on the electronic tracking.
So we've got the reports in Firehouse tracking all the time off and the payroll. They're in there. We are using them. We're going to spend the next month training the employees on how to make sure they put them in right, and go back and clean some of the data so it's all correct. So what's going to happen is employees, when they do their overtime or their daily shifts, they're going to enter their shift into the computer, which they've already been doing. We just need to make sure they do it consistently the right way. And then once a week, Chris Dolly is going to verify that it's put in right, lock the record, and it's going to be a permanent record. So the firefighters, when they want to know how much time they have or leave balances, they just press a button on the screen and it generates it immediately with all their time used, leave time used, and accumulations. Same thing on payrolls on Friday. She'll be able to push a button and it'll spit out the total overtime for the week, who worked what, how many hours, and what days. We're working on getting that Excel spreadsheet to be able to just be a copy and paste for the treasurer, so that's something we'll work on in the next couple of weeks so that she will not have to then re-input it a second time.
Good.
We're also going to continue with the paper copies for the next month or two just to make sure we've worked the bugs out and there's no errors in it.
Right. Okay. And the SOPs?
So there's two SOPs I've got out for comment period in draft format. So all SOPs will go out for 2 weeks of comment period, so the firefighters, the union, anybody can comment on what they like or don't like in it. The first one is a hazardous materials control and countermeasures in fire station facilities. So this is basically a requirement if we don't want to put an outside tight tank containment system in for our floor drains. So the other fire departments had worked with the state EPA and Barnstable Health Department to come up with a set of rules that we would all abide by if we didn't want to do this, if we didn't want to put these tight tanks in and consider the waste hazardous materials, which the Health Department of Barnstable Health, County Health, did prove that it wasn't actually hazardous. They did testing on it. It's all safe. The wash that comes off the trucks is actually within drinking water standards. So this puts us in compliance. If we follow those rules and wash the trucks in specific areas, keep hazardous materials away from floor drains, then they will allow us not to take the expensive option of putting in tight tanks. So that's exactly what this is. This is word for word out of what the other departments have adopted. Mm-hmm. The second guideline came out of, it's a staffing issue, and it's not, I think all the fire departments in our area are having staffing issues where they're not getting people to come back off duty, and they're not able to keep call departments up and running, or at a very minimal state. So they're having problems getting people back into work when they commit resources to emergencies. Mashpee's been having this trouble, where they'll have two rescue calls, their two crews on duty, they'll go out, and the station will be empty. So their solution has been to call for an engine for station coverage. So this happened a couple times now, where they'll call Cotuit for an engine. We send an engine to cover Mashpee, and then we don't get anybody for callback. So we've got an engine in Mashpee covering their station, but Cotuit's now empty, and neither town's got an ambulance staffed, because now our engine is staffed over there, and no one's got an ambulance between us or Mashpee. So it's not something we can do. It doesn't make any sense. So we came up with an SOP that says that we'll go anywhere anytime there's an emergency. If they have an emergency, we'll go to the scene. We'll go to an emergency. If they have a fire, we'll go for that. But we're not going to go sit in the station because they can't get standby, because that's the exact same problem that is going to transfer to us. So they're just transferring the problem to us, which isn't fair to the residents of Cotuit. We're not paying tax dollars to cover their station if we can't cover ours. So we said that what we will do is if we can get people to come back from standby and we have extra people, we'll send extra people. That's fine. But we're not going to leave our station empty to go cover their empty station. So that's basically what this guideline says. And Mashpee's okay with that. They said they will utilize Joint Base Cape Cod, their fire department, more often to cover them. They don't do as many calls. They're staffed more heavily than we are. So I've sent them a copy of this NCOM fire. They're both okay with it. It's basically that. That's what it says we do. Mm-hmm. So is this an update of an existing document that we had? And actually, this document 10 years ago said exactly this. And for some reason, it wasn't 10 years ago. It was 5 or 6 years ago. It was changed to not require us to fill our station before we went to coverage somewhere else. So we've changed it back to what it was a long time ago.
Right. Just give me a second. I wanted to see that I had one thing checked. Right. So my understanding is that having discussed it with Mashpee and they're all right with it, is this going to become the format now, or go back to being the format for mutual aid?
It is. So this addresses specific. It addresses specifically when they run out of their own resources. So we said we wouldn't. We have mutual aid agreements. So if Hyannis or Falmouth. If Falmouth is a structure fire, they do station coverage where they move resources closer to the fire. And the idea is a lot of these resources are staging, so they're next up to go to the fire. So we said we're not pulling out of that. We'll still do station coverage if there's a structure fire and it's part of a regional coverage scheme. Okay. We're not going to back out of that right now, but we're just not going to cover their inability to get standby.
Right.
So if they can't get their off-duty firefighters to come back for whatever reason, it's a problem we're all having, and it's something we're all the chiefs are talking about together and trying to find solutions to. But we can't be their solution, unfortunately. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yes, it does.
I mean, we said that if they have an emergency, if their station is empty and they get a rescue call, we'll go. If they get a fire call, we'll go. If they have any emergency that they don't have the resources, we will go to the emergency. We will not refuse to go to emergency. We're not going to go hang out at their station just in case and leave our station empty.
Right. Okay. Under old business, we have the ambulance billing rates. You were authorized last month to go ahead and institute the increases. Has that happened with...
It has. ComStar has been notified that was a decision been made and that implemented the new rates.
Good. And we already did the septic update. And the last item, new business, is legal. And I thought I was going to have something to report, and it has not been resolved. So I have nothing to report. If there's nothing else, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I second. All in favor?
Zace, aye.
Pisano.